Hey girl, welcome back to the Say Grace podcast. I'm registered dietitian and weight loss expert, Constance Shelby. I've helped thousands of women eat the foods they love while losing weight. I'm here to talk all things weight loss and women because you know it's never just about the food. So whether you're praying before a healthy home-cooked meal or driving the struggle bus right on through that drive-thru, sit with me and let's say grace. Hey y'all, I'm Constance Shelby, registered dietitian, nutritionist, wife, mama, and owner of Perfect Fit Nutrition, where I've helped thousands of women lose weight eating the foods they love. Today, I want to talk to you about eating those foods that we love. Okay, so when we think about losing weight, we automatically think about depriving ourselves of the food we love. And like, this is the first red flag. Okay, I hate that society is this way. I hate that we as humans are this way. But when we look at ourselves or when our pants are too tight or whatever, and we think, gosh, I need to lose some weight. What's the second thing you think? You think, gosh, I need to give up XYZ, whatever it is, probably the thing you enjoy most every day. You go there first. I need to give up, you know, cream, all that creamer in my coffee. I need to give up my night or my bowl of nightly ice cream. I need to give up going out to Mexican on Thursday night with my friends. And you know, whatever it is that you actually enjoy, that tends to be the first thing you want to give up. And it's almost like this martyr thing. It's like, oh, if I want to achieve a goal, I've got to like literally hate my life a little bit more in order to achieve the goal. Okay. And so we automatically go there and we think I've got to just deprive myself of all the foods that I love. Okay. And so what happens though? We get convinced that the cookies are the problem or the nightly ice cream's the problem or whatever. So then what? We replace that nightly bowl of ice cream, like I'm talking Bluebell ice cream, probably with chocolate syrup on it, something that just sounds heavenly. We decide we're going to replace that. And then we go out and we find like the nastiest thing that they have at the grocery store. Maybe not the nastiest thing, but it's definitely not going to be equivalent to the Bluebell, right? We go out and we say, okay, I'm going to have a sugar-free chocolate pudding cup, or I'm going to make some sugar-free cherry jello and top it with a dollop of whipped cream. And that is sure to satisfy my ice cream sweet tooth. Okay. And so then what happens? Right? After a few days, you are so motivated. Let me back it up. At that grocery store, you are so motivated. You know, you think, oh, this is the ticket. I am going to do it this time because, you know, this blogger I follow swears by this Jell-O Cool Whip concoction. And so you're like, this is going to be the time that I really make this switch. But then it starts to stink, right? I mean, I'm sorry, I don't care what brand, or honestly, I don't even care how much Cool Whip goes on top. Sugar-free Jell-O will never replace Bluebell ice cream with chocolate syrup. And I mean, I know it's silly listening to me say that, but this is literally what we do, is it not? It is literally what we do. We convince ourselves that we're going to make this huge change. And so, for me, I just learned a long time ago that I cannot do that. I mean, please know that this was me for a very, very, very long time. Even as I, you know, graduated from college and got married, like I was still trying to, oh my gosh, I guess it was probably about 8 or 10 years ago when that chickpea version of chocolate chip cookie dough came around, you remember you would like mix up the chickpeas, and then you did get to put chocolate chips in it, and then I can't remember what else, but anyway, you're supposed to mix it up and put it in the fridge, and then it was supposed to come out tasting like chocolate chip cookie dough. Y'all, it don't. I mean, it does not taste like cookie dough. And so, I mean, that was me though. I was up in that kitchen making that cookie dough. And even right now, my clients have me trying, they're like, please try this, the cottage cheese ice cream, you know, rave that's all over TikTok, I guess. I don't have TikTok, so I don't know. But, you know, they're like, just try it and let us know what you think. And I'm like, okay, we'll see. But but, you know, and if, okay, if that satisfied me, like if I really said, okay, I'm going to try this cottage cheese ice cream thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is delicious. Oh my gosh, it absolutely tastes like ice cream. I love this. Okay, then. All right, then do it. You're really, you're doing yourself, you're doing an amazing thing for your body if you do that. That is not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is when you like try to squint your eyes and hold your face just right and pretend that chickpeas actually taste like cookie dough. And in the end, you've still consumed the calories from the chickpeas, okay, which can add up. And I think you even put like, I don't know what, you put a bunch of stuff in there. I mean, it's still added up to be something substantial. And then you're still not mentally or, you know, flavorfully, if that's even a word, satisfied because you literally just ate chickpeas and tried to convince yourself it was cookie dough. You know what I'm saying? And so this is why I have just really steered clear from me personally depriving myself of the things that I really enjoy and trying to replace them with something that is may or may not be disgusting. You know, I do all real sugar. Now, do I, you know, consume a ton of sugar? Absolutely not. But when I'm going to have something sweet, it's going to be made out of sugar. It's not going to be made out of, you know, stevia or, you know, any of these other ones out here that are on the market, because I just have found that I'm not satisfied with those items. Like I will have it, and it never fails. I do still love a Diet Coke, and I will have a Diet Coke and then immediately go look for a little piece of candy because I'm still craving that sugar, right? And so I just have come to the conclusion that nothing is going to replace the real deal. Therefore, I am going to have the real deal, even if it means it might have to be significantly less, or, you know, I may go over a little bit that day, like whatever it is, I'm going to have the real deal. And so I want to talk a little bit around why, and I'm going to do some like whole episodes on these topics, so I'm not going to get too far off into it today, but I'm going to talk about why I feel so strongly about this. Okay, so first of all, if you're looking at the broader aspect of this topic, any type of negative thought around food can so easily turn into a negative thought about yourself, okay? And so let me say it again. Negative thoughts around food can easily turn into negative thoughts about yourself. Okay, so I'm going to go back to my example of replacing the bowl of ice cream with the apple. Okay, so the thought started, right, when you said, oh gosh, I've got to lose some weight. So then you decide, well, it must be this bowl of ice cream I'm having that is causing me to gain weight. So let me figure out a healthier option, something that can make me skinny, right? And so you automatically put the blame on the ice cream. Now, could it have been like the Big Mac and fries you had in the drive-thru? Or could it have been that the ice cream is, you know, triple the portion size it should be? Could it have been anything else in your day? Absolutely, because we know that It's never just one food that gets the blame, or it shouldn't be anyway. It is an accumulation of all your food consumed day in and day out that eventually either you are overeating or you are eating just enough, right? Depending on your needs, depending on, you know, your height, weight, age, all those good important things, you know. So sure, you can blame the ice cream, but that's not necessarily going to make a difference, you know, when you think about it as a whole. So, all right, so let me take it back. So you have decided you're going to blame the ice cream, right? And so you say, all right, it's the ice cream is bad. And I'll take it even one step further. Someone may have told you, well, you know, I noticed that you keep Bluebell in your fridge and, you know, no one can really lose weight eating ice cream. I know that when I gave up dessert, that's when I lost 20 pounds. And so the habit is to just absorb, especially when we're desperate, when we're like, oh gosh, we're at our wit's end, we've got to lose that weight. The habit is to just believe anything and everything will help us and you know, get us where we want to be. And so someone has told you that dessert is the problem, or you have told yourself the dessert is the problem. And then you have in turn labeled that ice cream or that dessert, whatever it may be that you have decided to narrow in on today, you have labeled it as a bad food. Okay, this food is bad. This food is bad because I'm eating it and now my pants don't fit. So this food must be bad. Or this food is bad because I read online that it can cause high cholesterol, or it can, you know, raise my blood sugar. So this food is bad. Now, let me pause right here. Foods do affect our bodies in different ways. So don't hear me saying that like that's not true, you know, that if you read certain foods have more cholesterol and can affect your heart or your blood sugar or whatever. Okay, that is true. But that is just a statement that is not connecting. You should not be connecting the fact that, you know, ice cream has saturated fat in it to, you know, that's the reason you can't lose weight and you're overweight and X, Y, and Z. Okay. Because all foods have a different makeup. They have different things. And so we have been led to believe that one specific food can, you know, cause one specific thing. But there's no science around that. It is consistently consuming and over consuming these types of foods with these types of makeups that can possibly contribute to the health issues that might come along later. But at the end of the day, there is no research that says directly like ice cream is going to make you have a heart attack. Okay, so do you see the difference there? Like, we are labeling these foods as bad, whether it's got to do with the health risks that, you know, you may read, or whether it's just got to do with that direct relation to, hey, my pants are too tight and I know I've been having my ice cream. So we label that food bad. And then we resort to our sugar-free cherry Jell-O with whipped cream on top for a few days, and then we decide that we don't want to do that anymore, that it's not fun. We're sitting there watching our husband still eating his bowl of ice cream every night. Can you say amen? Because, you know, the husbands are always still eating the dang ice cream. And so what do? In a moment of weakness, in a stressful day, heck, you may even forget. You may even forget in a quick grab emotional moment, you may forget all about your cherry Jell-O that you decided you were going to start having. It doesn't matter. Something happens and we decide, I'm going to have my Bluebell ice cream with my chocolate syrup on top tonight. Okay. We eat it and then we realize, oh gosh, I can't believe, you know, I forgot and I had my ice cream. Or we realize, oh gosh, I regret the decision I just made. I blew it, you know, I ruined everything. You realize and it hits you that you just indulged in the food that you had previously labeled as bad. So now what does that make you? It makes you bad, right? That's what your mind tells you. Okay, I ate the bad food, so that makes me bad. And so this type of thinking can occur around all different types of things in our lives. And it happens from the time that we are, you know, young, very, very young. But we start to identify with the thing that was labeled as bad. If we participate in it, we identify with it. Because if you are calling a food bad and then I ate the food, then that makes me bad. Okay, that puts a level of shame on the food, and it puts a level of shame on you. And so this is where a lot of eating issues, weight issues can start at such a young age. You know, it's especially when you're young and you're finding shame around the fact that you can't, you know, control your cravings or just stop eating or whatever it may be. It's not only the fact that you're struggling to lose weight, right? It's also a shame piece around the foods that you are consuming and, you know, how that appears on your body in a sense. Okay. And in our programs, we do not label any foods good or bad. Now, clearly there are foods that have more fiber, more nutrients, leaner protein, that type of thing to help us with our weight loss goals. But like, if you don't want to eat the grilled chicken today and you would rather have a milkshake, like that's all you, girl. Like we are not going, yeah, we want to see you lose the weight and you know, reach your goals, but we are not going to food shame you to get there. And so that is where a lot of even some of our like government programs, the way things are worded online can create shame. It maybe not at the beginning, but eventually it will. Because even a diabetic, like if you are a newly diagnosed diabetic, like I can promise you that person, you know, has had some white carbs and some desserts in their life. And so when you're a newly diagnosed diabetic and your, you know, physician or your dietitian even says, you just need to cut out the white carbs and the dessert, like, what? That is not going to happen. You know what I mean? Or you're going to try really, really, really hard at first, and then you're going to slip up, and then what? Feel panicked, feel shame, feel frustration, feel all these things that eventually only help your negative thinking about yourself, right? Those kind of behaviors don't turn into like positive rainbow and butterfly type of self-reflection, okay? And so I just believe that any type of negative thoughts around food can turn into negative thoughts about yourself, which is why I am not going to leave anything off limits to myself or my children. Okay, yes, we learn about portion control, like we don't want stomach aches and, you know, feeling yucky up in here. We learn about portion control and we learn about the foods that fuel our body best. But there are no bad foods, not for me and not for you, okay? And so another reason that I am, you know, really passionate about this is because, you know, just like my diabetic story just then, like by saying that you need to cut out a certain food and or food group, you are automatically setting an impossible standard. And, you know, whether it be a week, whether it be a year, eventually that standard is not going to be met. You are going to have whatever it is that was either given to you or put in front of you in a moment of weakness. And again, it's just going to circle back to that failure mentality. Okay. And so again, it's all going back into thinking negatively about yourself and, you know, it started with thinking you were going to be strong enough to not partake in the food, but it ends in you thinking even worse about yourself. And so what does that do for your confidence, for your, you know, hopes, your goals? Like that doesn't help you reach them in any way, shape, or form. So why would we promote that? You know, why would we say anything that's going to eventually circle back and turn into another layer of shame and guilt around your body or around your eating? And so I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about the things that I do choose to have pretty regularly, actually, just to kind of like let it be known. You know, I think there's something super powerful about owning your truths so that others feel comfortable in owning theirs. And I don't believe that we can improve in our journey with food until we own our own truth, if that makes sense. And so for me, I thoroughly enjoy Oreos. Like, Oreos are my jam. Now, I will say that the Oreo Thins give me just as much of a happy face as the regular Oreos. So sometimes I do buy those because, again, that is one of, it's not like, you know, it's not like cherry Jell-O or chickpea cookie dough. It actually satisfies, and I kind of like the fact that they're like a thinner cookie, you know, like it's more of a crispy cookie, because really I just want to be like my three-year-old and like lick out the cream in the middle. Well, so anyway, so cookies are my jam. I love Oreos. My kids love when I make Joanna Gaines chocolate chip cookies. Her recipe, I think, is all over the internet, but I have her cookbook and it is fabulous. And so, you know, I have been known to dump extra chocolate chips in there and maybe some M&Ms. But we all love those and we have those. I mean, they at least have me make them once every few weeks. And so, you know, I try not to eat them all, but I do eat them and I thoroughly enjoy making them and having that cookie dough. Some other guilty pleasures of mine, I always drink regular creamer in my coffee. I'm talking Coffee Mate style creamer. Our favorite flavor right now is creme brulee, which is hard to find. But Jess and I both drink it, and of course my portion is a little more controlled than his, but I want to have the good stuff in my coffee. Like, now, okay, there are some awesome coffee creamer substitutes out on the market, you know, for, especially for those with like dairy allergies or those who just really could give or take a coffee creamer. You know, they're wonderful. I'm not saying anything bad because they're wonderful. And their ingredient list is actually way better than anything Coffee Mate could provide. But it doesn't do it for me. You know, like I want that thick, creamy coffee creamer. And so it's what I enjoy. So I always have regular coffee creamer. I always have wine. So I will drink a glass or two of wine, maybe one or two times a week. On Thursday nights, Jess and I are known for cheese and wine. We put the kids to bed a little bit early, and that's just kind of our weekly date. You know, one day I would love to be able to get a babysitter. You know, I read somewhere that you need to take a date night every single week. Like, I would love to be able to do that, but it's just not happening in this day in life. So we make it work how it works. And some days, you know, it is, we sit down and we talk and we kind of reflect on the week and we dream big and we, you know, we just really like talk and get to know more about each other and what's gone on in our day to day in the past week. But sometimes we literally just turn on a show and watch our show and literally unwind together. So yeah, I love wine. Like, I love the flavors of wine. Like, somebody take me to Napa with them because we've been once and it was like one of the best trips. But, I love wine, but also it's turned into more of an experience for us and just something that I'm not willing to look at my husband and say, I'm trying to lose 3 pounds, so we have to skip cheese and wine night. You know, like these people that want to go out on a date night for the first time in 3 months and then want to order like a salad to the best steak restaurant in town. Girl, no. Like that is not. Now, if you really are craving a salad, that's what sounds good to you. Okay. But if you are literally drooling across the table at your husband's steak that he ordered, That is not going to turn out well for you in the end, you know, mentally. Heck, maybe even when you get home, you're going to, you know, want to go binge on something because you weren't satisfied on the date night. So, yeah, back to my, yeah, cheese and wine. We are always going to do it. And I have no regrets there. And then the last one is cereal in bed. And so my clients know about this one. It has been an ongoing thing for a really long time. When I was pregnant with my first, who is now almost 8, I just was always craving cereal at night. Ugh, with her, in my pregnancy, I just did not want much meat. Oh, green veggies sounded totally terrible. And so a lot of just white carbs sounded really good to me all the time. And so we would often have dinner and then around 9:30 or 10, I would be hungry again and I would have cereal in bed. And so then I breastfed her and that hunger is like no other. And it just continued. That habit continued. And then I stopped breastfeeding her and that habit continued. And so finally I tried to break it. I really did, you know, off and on. But finally I just said, you know what? I do get pretty busy early in my days. And so I know that majority of my intake is in the evening and that's probably part of it. But there, like the morning time, I'm just not that hungry. Lunch, I usually get, you know, a small portion of whatever it might be. And I'm not real snacky because I'm busting it during the daytime. And so I thought, you know, after looking at it, I just decided, hey, I'm just going to allow a little room in my daily tracking to have the cereal at night and get over it. Okay. And I did this twice. I lost both, you know, my baby weight with both my kids and I was eating cereal in the bed at night, you know? And so it is possible. No, is it ideal to eat at 10 p.m.? No, but is it a deal breaker? Absolutely not. And so that is something that I have still continued. I don't do it every night now because some nights I'm just not hungry. And, you know, that's fine too. But if I'm hungry, girl, I'm going to have the cereal in the bed, okay? So those are a few of my things that I just enjoy and I refuse to give up. But now let me tell you how I do that without gaining weight, right? Because you're probably thinking like, girl, of course, you know, sure, that sounds awesome to have cheese and wine and cereal in bed. But, you know, how am I going to do that and try to lose the weight I want to lose? Well, let me tell you. So the first thing that I really encourage doing, which I just kind of mentioned it, is planning around those things that you love. Okay. Every day is going to look a little bit different, but, when the day that I'm recording this podcast happens to be a Thursday and Jess and I are going to have cheese and wine tonight. And so I have simply planned ahead in my breakfast and my lunch. You know, we teach our ladies how to save up a little bit of calories throughout the week for things like this, which I have done. And, you know, I've planned it so that I have room for it, so that I'm not automatically saying, okay, I'm going to have cheese and wine tonight. That means I'm going to, you know, contribute to weight gain. That's not how it has to go. Okay. And so it's the same for anything. It's the same for the coffee creamer. Like if you really want to lose weight, but you really want to keep your coffee the way you like it, you know, don't mess with my coffee, sis. Then you need to say, hey, this is a priority for me. I'm going to keep my coffee creamer the way I like it because it helps me start my day, you know, the way that I need it to start to function and not, you know, strangle anybody. And so, you look at the rest of your day. There are things in your days that could be eliminated. Things, you know it probably right now. There are things that we consume that really, if we knew how much, you know, how they were contributing to our inability to gain weight or our inability to lose weight, excuse me, we would say, oh my gosh, that's not even worth it. Okay. And so this is why we encourage our ladies to track your intake. No, you don't have to do it forever. No, but by tracking, not only do you actually see where your, you know, your recommended calories lie compared to what the actual food you are eating add up to be, you know, that in itself can be an extreme eye-opener for a lot of us, but it also allows you to look back and say, okay, yesterday I ate X, Y, and Z, and I really didn't even want to have that like stale biscuit that was left in the break room, but I grabbed it because it was there. And now look at all those calories I could have spent, you know, on something else. I could have had my a third cup of coffee with my amazing creamer concoction or whatever. And so it really allows you, you know, by tracking and by looking back and, you know, it allows you to kind of take control of your intake and take control of your weight loss. Because you can also look back and be like, okay, what did I have for breakfast today? Because whatever it is, I am starving way before lunch, so I need to make sure that I, you know, switch up my breakfast a little bit. Or, you know, I really am wanting to have that Bluebell ice cream with chocolate syrup tonight, so do I need to lessen my afternoon snack to make room for it, right? It is a game changer, but a lot of times people are like, I don't want to track because I don't have time for that. Okay, then, but like the way that you can lose weight, eating the foods that you enjoy, you know, not having to eat the packaged crap that comes in the mail, or not having to, you know, only survive on grilled chicken breast and steamed broccoli. You know, if you want to approach a weight loss lifestyle while also still enjoying that lifestyle, then for me, it's like, okay, just track your food. I mean, dang, that's a pretty easy trade-off if you think about it. And then another thing that I really want to point out on this is when you are planning your day around the things that you love, okay, you are also going to need to go ahead and think ahead to allow yourself mentally to have it. Okay, and so what this means is we just covered how Bluebell ice cream with chocolate syrup can be labeled as a bad food, right? And so just because you decide, well, I'm going to try this and I'm going to try to have my Bluebell ice cream and, you know, see what happens, like that doesn't mean that the mentality just goes away. Like it is a really hard process. It's a long process to undo this terrible thinking that we have, you know, we have allowed ourselves to get off into for years and years and years and years around food. You're not going to be able to do that in a blink. And so really start to like mentally give yourself permission to enjoy the foods that you have made the room for, right? If you've made the room for the cheese and the wine with your husband, don't you dare beat yourself up for having it, you know, during or after it's done. Don't you dare do that. You know, you say, I have given myself permission for this and I am going to enjoy this and I made the room for it. There's literally nothing wrong with this process, but we want to get in our heads and we want to go back to old thought processes. And so sometimes that can arise. And so I do feel like that's necessary to kind of speak here. So today, and again, this is this whole topic that I kind of discussed and maybe went off on a tangent a little bit. This is something we're going to hit a lot here because I just think it needs to be unpacked. It cannot be unpacked enough. How about that? Because it is a battle. It is such a battle with people trying to lose weight. You know, it's not only the grasping of the nutrition and just food portions and that type of thing. It is very much a mental battle around the foods, whether they are, you know, whether we're labeling them good, bad, whatever. There is such a mental battle there. And so I do plan to cover this many different ways on many different episodes of this podcast. So thank y'all so much for tuning in today. I really hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. I hope y'all have an awesome day. I hope you go enjoy some maybe Oreos, cheese and wine, whatever suits your fancy. And remember that you are allowed to have it. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Say Grace Podcast. If you enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you left me a 5-star review. Also, make sure to follow the show so you don't miss another episode. Plus, if you're interested in learning more about losing weight and eating the food you love, make sure to subscribe to my email list by going to perfectfitnutrition.com. See ya!